Fear does not exist on this podcast, does it?
No. Be calm.
Pain does not exist on this podcast, does it?
No. Be calm.
Defeat does not exist on this podcast, does it?
Well, they are last in the East. I mean, it's hard for us. It's hard for me to agree with you on that one.
Yeah, that's true. Ralph Macchio, let's do it.
Welcome to the Point Blank Podcast, covering New York Islanders hockey. Here are your hosts, Brian Compton and Mike Carver.
Welcome to the show, everybody. B-Comp and Carver will be joined by Ralph Macchio in just a few minutes. The Islanders end the five-game skid with a win in Boston on Tuesday night. Michael, how are you?
Doing good, buddy. What's going on?
Oh, I am so excited. Ralph Macchio, man, this is huge.
I'm pumped. Listen.
This is our childhood. This is great.
This is it, man. I grew up watching this movie. All three of them, as bad as the last two were. I grew up watching those films. No, hey, listen. Yeah, it is what it is. I still love them. They're great to watch. And then, listen, plenty of other great Macchio films, too. The Outsiders, My Cousin Vinny.
What a career.
Crossroads. Plenty of good stuff from Ralph.
The Islanders snap a five-game winless streak. They beat the Bruins. Thomas Greiss is probably the only reason why, Mike, when we look back at the tape. There's a couple of fluky goals. Anders Lee continues to roll, which is great, but the Islanders do not win this game without a 48-save performance from Thomas Greiss.
Listen, we say it all the time. The guy should be playing every night. I don't mind Berube getting in there for a couple. Finally, that thaw ended. We'll talk about that in a little while, but Greiss is the guy that gives this team the best chance to win every night. He was unbelievable in Boston. He's been really good most nights when he's played. I don't understand what more you got to see if you're either Capuano, Snow, or whoever to know that Thomas Greiss is the guy that should, in my opinion, play 75-80% of the games going forward.
Yeah, including Friday night against the Sabres. I mean, just give guy the number one gig and let him roll with it for a bit. Look, it's great that J.F. Berube finally got to start a couple of games, but just watching him, Mike, I mean, he was okay, but my blood boils because they kept this guy around. This is not Ken Dryden. At the end of the day, I know Parenteau has been through a cold streak. He scored against the Rangers tonight. He went 16 games without a goal, but they threw away their top line right wing for a third-string goaltender.
Yeah, and you could tell, it's not like he played terribly, but you could tell
he was all right.
You could tell he hadn't played a real game in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest here. So I don't know where they're going with that. It looks like that Yarho Lock's been put in the ice chest for now. We'll see whenever.
We'll see
when he shows up again, but I'm not really looking forward to seeing him. But let's just play Greiss here and get it done with, because he was the backbone in that win in Boston, a win the Islanders needed in the worst way.
For sure.
Because they were just brutal over the last week. Some embarrassing third periods, but it's nice to come out in Boston and get a win. And how about Anders Lee, B-Comp? How about him?
11 goals in his last 14 games, Mike. Paying the price. He's doing the things that he has to do to be successful. He's going to the net. He's getting power play time with John Tavares, which is obviously huge. He's been playing with Johnny, which is great.
It's about time.
Yeah. But going back to the game, Mike, I can't get excited about this win because they never have the puck. They allow a million shots. The Bruins dominated them.
No, I'm not excited about the win. I'm just saying it's nice to get a win,
of course.
Obviously.
Of course.
But there's nothing to be excited about because you saw a lot of the same things that you saw in the five games that they lost before that.
Exactly.
So at the end of the day, what's the difference? And this season's lost now anyhow.
Yep.
People that want to think that this team – if this team made some big sweeping change today, that they would all of a sudden become a contender in the Eastern Conference is not happening because everybody has gotten too far out ahead of them, and they could win 12 of their next 15, and I don't know if they'd be – they probably wouldn't even get into a spot at that point without well everybody's played.
I mean, Mike,
so it is what it is.
Had they lost 5-4 Tuesday night in Boston, it would have been the same post-game press conference that we saw after the game in Ottawa. We're playing great 5-on-5. We were right there with them. It's not even the lineup, Mike. It's his attitude afterwards. He's praising their play 5-on-5. They never, ever, ever have the puck, ever.
No, never. They don't. They just don't. And I know the stat people out there will tell me that. I know all about it. They never do. It's pretty crazy. But you know, just keep rolling it, Jack. Just keep going. You know, you've only got 3 or 4 more months to coach in the NHL, so do it your way.
No, the only part I buy into when Jack goes on when he does this rambling after games is that the player, I believe Jack when he says the players haven't quit. I don't think they've quit. I really don't. But the fact of the matter is that they're not executing. Like I said, even when they have the puck, Mike, it's gone within 3 seconds. They've fallen this far from even last year, they didn't have the puck as much either, but Greiss was bailing them out left and right, and Halak was pretty good as well. But when you go back 2 years, Mike, they were
one of the best possession teams.
In the rear ends to play against. They always had the puck, and now here we are, they never have the puck. It's crazy.
It doesn't make a lot of sense. Like you say, a lot of people point to the system. It is what it is. I don't know where to go with it. I just don't know. I'm at a loss at this point, Bri. It's been a long, trying year, and the last week has really, you know, just been more of the same. And like you say, it's lucky to win a game like that in Boston the way that they won it, with your goaltender basically standing on his head.
Yeah.
That's the only reason why they won the game. And you're going to say, listen, they did score a bunch of goals in the game. That's true.
They did.
They did score a bunch of goals, but... like you say, you're not exactly dominating the play.
And then, like I said about the effort, I mean, that goal Kuhlman scored should never happen, but you got to give him credit for at least racing after the puck and trying to make something happen, right?
No doubt. And we don't see him do anything of significance too often. So that's always a good thing, too. He's a guy that's been, let's be honest, he's one of these other guys that's been, invisible. Let's put it that way. That's pretty much the way to put it.
It's depressing. But we have good news, Mike. Ralph Macchio is on the phone. Ralph, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. How you guys doing, man? Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much for doing this. We really appreciate it. First 10,000 fans are going to get your bobblehead at the Bark Friday night. First things first, what do you think of the bobblehead?
I think after a couple of drafts, we got it down to a pretty pretty unique and special bobblehead for a non-skating hockey player. Although I could skate, but it's not pretty, at least not these days. I think it came out great. I think, the team came to me with the idea, the Barclays Center folks and the Islanders all came on and pitched the concept, and they didn't know if I was going to be into it or not. I found that the first thing I think about, I always think about my family, my parents, my kids, and I just think it would be such a great thing for the whole Macchio clan and my wife's family as well. So it just, and then when they, I said, so is this a Ralph Macchio bobblehead or is this a Karate Kid bobblehead?
Right.
I said, there is a difference, although no one wants to. They think that line is completely blurry. So we sort of met in their initial pitch was, you know, the first rendering was just a guy, you know, looked like the Karate Kid with a little Islander logo on a headband, and I thought it was it was fine, but it just didn't make sense to me for him not to be a hockey player. I said we're going to take some hits from people saying, why does this guy get a bobblehead?
Right.
So I said that's why it has to be a hockey player, and we negotiated down to, well, maybe he's barefoot. I said there are no barefoot hockey players, maybe barefoot kickers in football, but you know that sometimes it feels when we're on not playing as well. It feels like we're barefoot. But, sorry. There's the dog, the new dog.
Nice.
Anyway, let me head upstairs. So then we, you know, I said skates, gloves, got to be the whole thing. We'll lose the helmet, keep the headband because that pays homage to that character. And then we, the crane pose was something they wanted. And I said, I think it is fun. It's cool. And they came up with the bobble leg. Which I think is a lot of fun too, and it looks pretty good. I just wish I had my hair was as thick as the bobblehead hair. I remember.
That's what I was going to go there with the bobble leg next, Ralph, because I was going to say you don't see that too. I don't think I've ever seen that. You've seen plenty of bobbleheads, but the bobble leg is something that I want to hear about. And also, what about number 4? On the jersey, is that for Andrew Ladd's 4 goals? Do you have any other significance for number 4?
That big launch out of the gate for Andrew Ladd this season. Well, he's getting. I mean, he's got a couple. You know, I'm trying to be the ultimate optimist after losing Nielsen and some of these guys we love so much. Let's go back to the bobble leg. I think that it was. Oh, no, you said the number four. Yeah, the bobblehead, right. I think, is just a cool idea they came up with, and I think it really, you know, adds to the uniqueness of it. And a lot of, from what I understand, people collect these things like crazy, because I can't go anywhere right now without anyone saying, you give me a bobblehead, right? I said, yeah, you go to the game. It's a promotion. You get it? Some of the game. So I hopefully we're selling some tickets. And
I was going to ask you, Ralph, if you could get me one, because I can't make it Friday night, so now I know not to ask.
Right, yeah, no, don't go there. So anyway, but the number four, I as much as you want to, you know, connect it to the lad's goal number, it's four Stanley Cups. I thought that was kind of poignant.
Yeah.
As we continue to drive for five since 85. My birthday's on the 4th. I thought that made a little bit of sense too. And there was four in my family, my wife, myself, my two kids, and my parents, and it's just me and my brother, so there's four in that core family as well. You know, so the number four seemed right. Everyone's trying to connect it to what defenseman it might have been. Was it John Potvin? that was the impetus for that. It seemed to make sense.
And your daughter, Julia, is going to perform the anthem? Is that
correct?
Yes,
she is. She is very excited, as we are.
That's great.
And I thought that would be, I asked her first. I said, well, are you interested in doing this? You know, for throwing her under the bus. She could sing, thank God, she sings beautifully. So we're excited for that. And so she was into it, and the Islanders were into it. And once they, you know, you had to send a tape, and they signed on right away. So it'll be a nice night all the way around, we hope. With a win, we'll determine. She can sing like Whitney Houston if we lose the game.
You're right about that, Ralph. That's for sure. We could use a few wins, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
How about you growing up as an Islander fan, grew up on Long Island. How about a little memories of you growing up, the Cup years? What was it like for you? Did you go to any of the Cup games? Were you in any playoff games?
I was at a bunch of them. Certainly I was at, you know, the most famous for me. I was, the Bobby Nystrom overtime
That's
game
awesome.
That Saturday afternoon. I was there in that building. I remember it, it's a top five sports moment in my life, if not a top 10 moment in my life from the aspect of, you know, because it means at that age, you know, as a teenager, it just means so much, you know. It was our team, and it was, you know, it was a blue collars Long Island team. It was like your cousins and uncles who were out on the ice, you know. It's what it felt like. So it wasn't the corporate kind of entity that's big business sports is feels more and more has become. Back then, those guys, you felt like you knew all those guys. And I guess people talk about the Brooklyn Dodgers being that kind of team, you know, back in the 50s and, you know, they were your extended family. It felt like that. Not many suburban-based teams in professional sports, hardly any outside of what, Green Bay maybe now?
Yeah. Right.
So it was, there was a very communal feeling to the fan base, and you sort of knew everybody. So that moment, you know, when they won on that Saturday afternoon, May 24th, who remembers?
That's right.
It is me.
Great job.
7-11 into overtime. I can't. If you ask me for other stats on games, I'm not going to be as good. But so don't go down the list. I'm
right,
not.
Your son asked me to push you, so I guess
I
won't.
Yeah,
do
don't push it. I'll give you that one. So I was at that game. I was at Bossy's 50-50. I was at the Kenny Morrow overtime.
That
goal
was my first
Rangers.
Game, Ralph.
What?
That was my first game live. Kenny Morrow's goal.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
That was a great.
That's still the greatest overtime ever played.
Yeah, the whole game was great.
Yeah, right.
And and he, what a year he had.
Yeah.
You know, coming off at Lake Placid and into the he won the gold medal and the cup in the same time.
Yeah.
He was a gentleman giant. That guy. He seemed like every time
I
met him a few times. He just, you know, very much to himself. I said, I don't care. Just keep playing. So it's fun, and I like to, bring attention to the sport and to the team. You know, obviously this year has been disappointing, outside of a very very solid streak there with beating Pittsburgh, Rangers, Washington, St. Louis. I was at the St. Louis game.
Yeah.
where Tavares decided to just switch hands, put the stick
amazing.
Behind the back,
yeah.
come through, and then say, oh, I'll just put it there. We need some more of those. And so I'm glad I'm talking to you guys after a win, because after a big slide, it would be – my son is a big fan. He listens to you guys all the time. So
we appreciate it.
He sends me – yeah, he sends me – he emails me. He goes, listen to this, the first 7 minutes. Listen to this, the middle 4 minutes. There's some good points here. I agree with 99% of everything, you know. So,
Ralph, Mike and I both grew up in the Coliseum. I know the people in Brooklyn are doing the best they can to make this home for the Islanders. How disappointed were you that the Islanders left the Coliseum? And where do you think they're going to end up in 5 years? Do you think they're going to stay in Brooklyn? And
That's a good question. How did I feel at moving? I thought it sucked.
Yeah,
I was very
tough.
You know, I was upset like everybody else, mainly because I allude to the point I made earlier, how much it was part of my –
yeah,
my childhood. So I mean, I had an affinity for it for hands-on reasons. But you know, I like to believe that you know, there were mistakes made, and it should. And listen, over decades had some big mistakes after the glory years. But you know, I was actually at the NHL Awards 2 summers ago in Vegas when and I spoke to Gary Bettman, and he said there was no choice.
Right.
There was absolutely no choice,
right.
And they really wanted the team to stay in and around New York. And you know, what was the other choice? Kansas City, I guess.
Yeah, who knows? Quebec.
So
right.
that I like the Barclays Center. It's not a hockey arena. It's not built for hockey. So I understand the disappointment with a lot of fans that don't have the good seats that I'm fortunate enough to get. But it is. It's not easy to get to, but it's simple to get to. It's just not easy
right,
to get
right,
to.
Right.
You know what I mean? You just
yep.
take the train, you get there, you walk across the street, but it takes you a lot of time. But where they're going to end up, I don't know how it's going to work. I hope they stay in New York. I can't, you know, it would be brutal for me if they move out of New York. Do they stay at Barclays? The people there have been great. I have
to
say
terrific.
From my
yep.
From my perspective, what they're trying to do and what they did with the, you know, the playoffs last
yep.
year, and even the opening, the whole thing they did, the opening presentation of the playoffs, I thought was class A. It looked great.
Yep.
And you know, we had that great round, and the house was loud, and the people show up. The fan base is there. It's there to draw from. So I think they're really trying to do a good job and are doing a good job. Obviously, when the team's not winning, that doesn't help anybody. So
right.
it's been a challenge this season, but I don't know. You guys probably have more of the finger on the pulse, or you know, are they building this next to Citi Field? Are they building this next to the racetrack?
Don't ask Mike.
Ralph, don't listen to any of it, Ralph.
I know.
All
it's all you
don't
got. You guys got a podcast
articles
to
in the
fill.
Paper, Ralph.
You got a podcast to fill. You just
that's right.
Ralph,
anyway.
I got to ask you this, and before we get back to the Islanders, just because for me, you know, growing up. Can you believe here, 32 years later, that people still just go nuts for that first Karate Kid movie? I mean, me growing up, I got to tell you this. I was 6, 7 years old. I was dressing as your character for Halloween. That's just the way, you know, that's the way it was. Can you believe that still, to this day, that film still holds up? You know, that and the sequels. But that original,
yeah.
you know, people got to still come up to you all the time, ask you about the movie. You couldn't have thought that when you were filming that movie.
There was
back
no way. We had
ago.
We had no clue. We really had no clue. You know, I think we felt. I mean, the word was that the scenes were working because you do a little bit at a time. You know, and you make movies
right.
it's all in little pieces. And the word was also, and it felt that Pat Morita and I had a nice kind of chemistry. It was very much an ease when we worked together, and it felt very natural and real. So you want to believe that that's you know, coming across. And we were hearing that at early stages, but you know, to have the fact that it turned out to be a good movie, you know, we were hoping, but you don't have a clue. The fact that we're here in the cusp of 2017, and it's, you know, it's a piece of American pop culture.
Yep.
It's you know, whether it's phrases from the movie or the crane stance. I mean, that's something anyone anywhere on the planet can do, and everybody knows what it is. How does that? You can't figure that out. It's quite phenomenal. And it's as I get older, I enjoy the kids that get introduced to that movie from their parents, and it becomes family viewing. And the quotes and catchphrases from it are used in, whether it's used on every mainstream television, movies, politics, whatever, you hear it, it just keeps going. And it's kind of the, you know, right guy at the right time for that. And it resonates on a human level from the aspect of kids that might have been fish out of water, moved to a different town, single parent, bullied, all those things that connect from a relatability aspect is why I think the film stands the test of time. And then on top of that, you have all the pop culture and the bad 80s hair and get them a body bag and, you know, catching flies with chopsticks and all that other
sweep
stuff.
Sweep the leg.
I mean, people dress up as the shower. I see it all the time. And the other films like that, you know, The Outsiders, the film I did right before,
yep,
then, which is one
classic
that's read in school. The book is read in school. I have kids all the time. So it's kind of nice that some of these films have become part of, part of American pop culture.
And we could do an
lucky
hour. You could probably, right, do an hour on some stories with all those guys that you did The Outsiders,
yeah,
with.
That's,
I mean,
for
that
sure
was some cast, that crew.
That's for sure. But only one of them did Young Bloods.
Oh, what a classic that
that's
is.
There's a hockey
that's
connection.
True.
Well, I mean, Ralph, that's the thing about your career. I think when we all look back, I mean, you weren't in a zillion movies, but the ones that you're in, they're the movies that people want to watch whenever they're flipping on the remote. Oh, The Outsiders is on. Oh, The Karate Kid's on. Oh, My Cousin Vinny's on. Like,
yeah,
you're in some classic movies.
Yeah, I was with Francis Ford Coppola, who directed The Outsiders. I saw him recently, and he said, and I've always agreed with this, the great films and even television for that matter, or theater or plays or literature, are determined over time. Nobody remembers what won the Oscar last year, but
right,
they'll remember,
I couldn't tell you,
Pulp Fiction, they'll remember The Godfather, they'll remember, like you say, The Karate Kid. It's time defines what a great movie is and where it stands over time. So I got pretty fortunate with some of those early on, you know.
Ralph, before we let you go, I mean, winning the playoff series last year was amazing. Now here we are. The Islanders are in the basement. I mean, are you confident that they can turn this around over the second half? What do you think?
I hope. Listen, I go into every game like it's, you know, I want 2 points, and this is when the 15-game win streak is going to start. And so I still have to believe that as a fan. It's very tough. One thing about the NHL, they've done a very good job of keeping all these teams so competitive.
Yeah.
And forget about the Mets, forget about our division.
Division's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But it's something nice. I mean, you look at basketball, you look at some of these other major sports, and you can have a week, we coast through this, we slam, we'll beat these guys by 20 points. We'll be with hockey, it's arguably the any given Sunday. It's
right,
the any given day.
Right.
Anybody can compete, and there are very few games that are not a high competitive level. So that's great for the sport, but it's tough for a team that had tripped out of the gate as we did, and still trying to find certain things. Fortunately for us, Tuukka Rask, who slept late yesterday, right?
That was good.
But we took advantage of him and made it. That stuff happens to good teams when they push. You know, you make your own happy accidents. So I just to me, this is just, you got to deal day to day. It's a big hole. I think they know that. And
yeah, for sure.
The way it's set up and the way the schedule is set up. And then you have these 3-point game swings with the, you know, overtime loss points and all this. It's going to be tough to make up, but it ain't over till it's over.
Amen.
So I'm looking for playoff hockey. I'm looking for, like, the ultimate great story when they talk at the end of the season and go over. And then the Islanders, where they hit Christmas and did not stop winning.
That's right.
That's what I'm writing that story.
Amen.
I mean, from the stands.
Your lips happens to God's ears.
Yeah,
right?
I hope so. I hope so. I hope it was fun last year.
It sure was.
And sweeping the Rangers was fun too. I just lost half my fan base. But I'm a hockey fan first and foremost. But it's nice to beat the Blue Shirts when we can.
Amen. We can't thank you enough for coming on, Ralph. This was great. Enjoy Friday night. You deserve it. And Merry Christmas to you
Merry
and your family.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Thank you, Ralph.
Kick butt in 2017. And thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Mike, how great was that?
Yeah, legendary.
Awesome.
The great Ralph Macchio. Gotta love him.
And he was talking about how much he dislikes the Rangers, which was pretty funny as well, right? Well,
that'll make all the Islander fans smile. Jeez, Ralph knows his stuff.
He really does.
It right there.
He really does.
He watches the game. He's dialed in on what's happening here.
He's dialed in for sure. You can check out Rangers Blue Line with myself, Nick Okazie, and Adam Rotter. We're going to speak with Greg Gilbert, who won a couple of Stanley Cups with the Islanders. He also won a cup with the Rangers in 94. To find the show, search SMY.TV Rangers on the iPhone podcast app or wherever you listen to your podcast, and make sure to subscribe, rate, and review the channel.
Make sure you ask Gilbert about that nice performance by the Rangers in Pittsburgh.
Oh, was that ugly? You know what, Mike? The Rangers are going to have to go the Islanders route. Just go through the Atlantic Division if you want to go on a playoff run.
Right.
Because the Metro's insane, and the Penguins sure have their number, don't they?
They sure do. It's great to see.
Oh, boy. Unbelievable. Where's Ryan Pulock, buddy?
Listen, who knows? Who knows at this point? You know, why would you want to play him at the NHL when there's really nothing left in this season? Why wouldn't you want to get him some experience? I don't know. I guess that's not something that's on the menu. I heard last week something along the lines of he's just not ready to come back yet.
Yeah, I asked somebody on Twitter.
What
asked,
is that?
Somebody on Twitter asked me to ask Jack, so I did because I like to appease my tweeps, as I like to call them.
Right.
So it was either before the Blues game or the Blackhawks game. I forget which one. And he said, you know, he's just not ready yet. He's getting there. The coaches like what
they
see.
He's just not ready yet. Okay.
With this power play, Mike, I just don't understand. If he's healthy.
Well, it's not only this, that. And you're right. The power play sucks. Let's just put it that
right.
way. Let's just put it out there. The Islander special teams are a joke. I understand the penalty kill has been kind of up there towards the top of the league this year. But here's the problem. They always give up power play goals in bad spots, like Friday night in Buffalo. But either way, the special teams stink and the power play stinks. And forget that, even besides that, Bri, how about the fact that this season is, for all intents and purposes, over, and you have an opportunity to give Ryan Pulock, you know, what is it, 45 games, 50 games of NHL experience that he can have under his belt going into next year? Who can? What is the? What are you gaining by playing Dennis Seidenberg?
I have
Who has had a nice year? He's done a good job for the Isles when he's been healthy. But what are you gaining by having Seidenberg out there every night for the rest of the season when Pulock needs the experience?
Mike,
what are you gaining?
This is the stuff that Jack has been spewing for the last few weeks about. If we're going to get on a roll, we got to play the veterans. That's why Beauvillier was scratched.
Right. Same lineup.
Yeah.
No change. Same lineup.
And that's
same lineup.
That's one thing we need to touch on. Can you just please play Beauvillier every night? For the love of God. If he's not going to play at World Juniors, where he might have been Canada's captain,
right?
Can he at least play at this level and not watch games? Is that too much to ask?
No, it is. It's too much. It's too much to ask.
He's played a couple of games in a row, and they did win Tuesday night. So hopefully that means he'll play again Friday.
Another beautiful goal by him against Ottawa on Sunday.
Just play him.
Why play him? I thought that might get him benched, that goal on Sunday. I didn't think he'd play the next game.
Anthony, you're skating too fast. Slow down.
Yeah.
Right.
Wait, you can actually beat goaltenders on breakaways? We're gonna sit you down, kid, for a minute. We don't like that around here. So have a seat.
Well, hopefully he'll keep playing. Kyle Okposo returning to the Bark on Friday night, Mike.
I'm sure he'll get a big video package and nice ovation. Are we going to get any of that? Have we heard the word yet or what?
I haven't heard, but I can guarantee you there will be some kind of video presentation for Kyle Okposo.
Well, considering how the organization pretty much left him on the sidewalk with his bags, that's why I'm not sure that, you know, we were going to get a big little presentation for Kyle. But it would be nice if the organization did that on Friday. I'm sure they will. They have a lot of other things on the plate Friday night. But I'm sure they'll get around to giving Kyle a little send-off.
Yeah, and do the right thing, fans. Give him a nice ovation. Don't boo him every time he touches the puck, because Kyle...
It's hard to boo
it was
guys.
Not, it was not Kyle's decision that he's not here anymore.
It's hard to boo guys who leave, you know, when they weren't offered contracts by your team. So, you know, you can't get on Kyle for that.
We're going to take a week off for the holidays, so let's do our New Year's resolutions, Mike. What do you got?
Let's do it. I'm going to go with... You know, I think it would be the people probably want me to say Brock Nelson to put, you know, to get a little tougher and play better. I think that would be too easy for me. I think I'm going to go be comp with Ryan Strome.
Okay.
For me, Ryan Strome, little New Year's resolution. Ryan, how about getting a little more physical? How about getting out there and putting some pucks in the net? Start playing, becoming the offensive player that we think you could be. How about that?
That's a good one. It's not bad. I would like Andrew Ladd to not be Jason Bay. How's that sound?
There you go. That's a good one, too, because Andrew Ladd stinks all year. As we talked to Ralph, Ralph almost had his jersey for the number of goals he has this year.
He was awful last night, Mike. And I don't know what the answer is. Again, I mean, play him with Johnny if you're going to play him. But Anders Lee is red hot right now, so I don't know what the answer is. But this is approaching disaster territory if we aren't there already. This is bad.
No, it's over. It's just terrible. It goes and coincides with how bad this year has been. Is how Ladd has played. It's not all his fault, but man, he really hasn't brought anything to the table.
Yeah, hopefully Andrew will turn things around in 2017, because Mike and I, as much as you might think we like to yell, we really don't. We would much rather week after week and discuss victories and not disasters. So
no question about that, and hopefully in 2017, that's the real resolution of all. Hopefully in 2017, we have some more victories to talk about.
Amen, pal. Happy holidays to you and Nikki and Olivia. Hope everything's going swimmingly.
Yes, everything's going well. Sleep is not happening, but other than that, things are going great. Same to you, Jackie, and the kids.
Appreciate it,
hopefully,
buddy.
It's going to be a good one for you guys, okay?
Appreciate that very much. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Holidays. We'll see you next year. Thanks again to Ralph Macchio. That was great. So long, everybody.
See you guys.
This has been the Islanders Point Blank Podcast, part of the SNY.TV Audio Network.